Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports joins me today. I want to talk to him about that defensive performance against the Bengals. Of course, I was so critical of the defense in my initial reaction, the rapid reaction to that game. But then going back and rewatching the game, especially doing the film analysis, again, everything outside of the last drive in the first half, the last drive in the second half, again, it wasn't a bad defensive performance outside of those two. So I want to get his take on how he felt the defense performed in that football game. And then I also want to talk to him just about the 2018 season as a whole. Of course, you know, Steeler fans are spending so much time talking about and criticizing the defense when it really does feel like in 2018, offense is so much more important to the season. Again, all of the teams that are among the best in the league this year feel like they have the most high-powered offenses. And so is that a trend in 2018 that we can expect to continue? Does defense even matter in 2018? I want to get his opinion on that as well. We'll also talk about Patrick Peterson. He came out and said he is not going to be traded, so it takes him off the trade market. But the Steelers are interested potentially in two other cornerbacks. We'll talk about that today as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page or join the Facebook group, and we're on Instagram, Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with some news and notes. Patrick Peterson, the all-pro cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, who said earlier this week he wanted to be traded, or at least that was what Adam Schefter of ESPN was reporting, and then the Arizona Cardinals came out and again rejected wholeheartedly that he would ever be traded. Patrick Peterson has now come out and tweeted a statement saying, quote, "I've been incredibly frustrated with how the season has gone, but my energy is 100% focused on being a part of the solution and helping us turn this around. I've never shied away from a challenge before, and I'm not starting now. I have always given my all to the Cardinals organization, my teammates, and fans. That is what I intend to do for the years to come. I am an Arizona Cardinal, and my focus is on this week's game." So it doesn't sound like Patrick Peterson is going anywhere. Again, it was always going to be a long shot with Patrick Peterson to the Steelers, as we talked about earlier this week. The price tag for Patrick Peterson, likely a first-round pick and more, something the Steelers have never traded away. And, you know, Patrick Peterson, while he is a great cornerback and would be a great addition, again, it would be very uncharacteristic for the Steelers to make that trade. And then also the salary implications of bringing in a guy who, not just in 2018, because again, they can afford him in 2018, but 2019, 2020, you're trading away a first-round pick for a guy who, can you really afford to keep him on the roster for the next two seasons, $11, $12 million in 2019 and 2020. Again, it was always a long shot, so Patrick Peterson sounds like he's going to be staying with the Arizona Cardinals. But according to Jason LaConfora of CBS, the Steelers may be interested in two other cornerbacks from teams who seem to be going on a fire sale at this point, getting rid of a bunch of players. The Oakland Raiders, who of course have traded Khalil Mack, now they traded Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys. Sounds like Gerrion Conley may be on the trade market. He's a young corner out of Ohio State, a high pick in the draft, has been disappointing for the Oakland Raiders so far. It has been benched by John Gruden this season. He may be on the trade block, and according to Jason LaConfora, the Steelers are one of those teams who may be interested. Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback for the New York Giants, another player. Again, the Giants kind of going through this fire sale as well. They traded one of their nose tackles to the Detroit Lions yesterday. So Janoris Jenkins, another player potentially on the trade block that, again, according to Jason LaConfora, the Steelers may be interested in. Of these two players, I think Gerrion Conley is an interesting prospect because, again, he is so young, high pedigree guy, again, taken high in the draft, has been disappointing so far for the Oakland Raiders, certainly has a lot of development to do. And the question there is, if you're bringing in Gerrion Conley, is he giving you that much more than Artie Burns or a Cam Sutton is right now? How much growth do they need from Gerrion Conley over the next couple weeks to get him into a spot where he is really an upgrade over what the Steelers have today, judging by how the Steelers have developed some of their young corners already? Again, you look at what's happened with Artie Burns. Yes, I know there was a lot of excitement about Tom Bradley. You're hoping that Tom Bradley, that Mike Tomlin, that Keith Butler can take a guy like Gerrion Conley and immediately turn him into a starter-capable corner. I'm not so sure that Gerrion Conley really fits the need that the Steelers have right now, which is a plug-and-play starting cornerback. Now, on the other hand, Janoris Jenkins of the New York Giants, 29 years old, but a quality starter in the past. Hasn't had a great 2018 season, but really, who on the New York Giants has? Again, a more veteran corner, maybe fits the mold of the type of player the Steelers need right away, which is someone who you can go and plug in right away, veteran corner. Again, kind of, you know, past his prime a little bit. The question would be, what is the compensation that they want for Janoris Jenkins? I think of those two, I think Janoris Jenkins probably makes the most sense, but he is 29. He's not playing well right now. Again, you could bring him in and hope that he's better than Artie Burns, Cam Sutton, Cody Sensabaugh, but we'll see. Again, interesting that the Steelers are still out there looking at a cornerback, even if it's not Patrick Peterson. And then let's also go over the injury report from Wednesday, the first practice report of the week for this game upcoming on Sunday. Of course, the Steelers did practice on Monday, although because it was kind of a free practice from the bye week, they didn't have to report who did or did not practice. It was reported through the media that Morgan Burnett did practice in some capacity, and the same can be said for LJ Fort. And those are two players that, you know, we were wondering about going into this week and coming out of the bye week. Would those two guys be healthy? As a shock, it is a complete shock to me that Morgan Burnett, who, again, said during the bye week, guys, I'm just not sure what's going on right now, taking it day by day, you know, my body's got a mind of its own, didn't sound like he would be back anytime soon, or certainly not in this game against the Cleveland Browns. Much more likely that that could happen against the Baltimore Ravens. Well, he practiced in a full capacity on Wednesday after practicing reportedly in a limited capacity on Monday. And that is fantastic news. Again, Morgan Burnett moving in the right direction. Now, again, I understand we've seen this before. We've seen this tale before with Morgan Burnett practicing. And then, again, he's been up and down. So let's not say that Morgan Burnett is for sure playing on Sunday. But the fact that he's practicing in a full capacity means he's moving in the right direction. And that is very encouraging. As I've said, the Steelers in a dime defense right now with Cam Sutton out there and not Morgan Burnett, I think are a much worse defense, especially when it comes to covering tight ends. And the idea that Cam Sutton is going to be the guy to cover tight ends while Morgan Burnett is out of the lineup just isn't working right now. You saw Cam Sutton struggle in that role against the Cincinnati Bengals. So going to be very excited if Morgan Burnett can return. And again, it's not just going to be a one-game thing here. The Steelers are going to need him back against the Browns. And that, of course, leads you right into that humongous game with the Baltimore Ravens. Would love to see Morgan Burnett be able to get out there against the Browns, get his feet underneath him, even if it's not a full participation in the football game. Get him out there, get him some reps, let him get his feet underneath him, and then against the Baltimore Ravens, where they're really going to need him, he can be out there. The same can be said for LJ Ford, who had that ankle injury that kept him out against the Cincinnati Bengals after he played so well against the Atlanta Falcons. He returns now, full participant in practice after that ankle injury. Will he be used in the nickel, in the dime, as a linebacker in place of Vince Williams, like he was when Vince Williams was hurt against the Atlanta Falcons? Love what LJ Fort did at covering tight ends, covering running backs out of the backfield, smothering as a coverage linebacker. And this is something we saw from him in preseason, in training camp, and going all the way back to last season after Ryan Shazier was injured. LJ Fort, I think, deserves a role there. Not to say that Vince Williams was bad, but I think LJ Fort is a real specialty linebacker there that I hope the Steelers lean on in the next couple weeks if he gets back to full participation. Some other notes here. Darius Heyward-Bey limited with that ankle injury. Maybe he sits one more week out and can be back in that game against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, Heyward-Bey, at this point in his career, limited to being much more of a special teamer than a true wide receiver. Xavier Grimble listed as limited with a concussion. Again, another one of those guys who maybe he comes back against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, again, Xavier Grimble, and you have to wonder if the Steelers would want to use that kind of multi-tight end set that they used against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, you heard Jeff Lloyd yesterday bringing pressure, getting to Ben Roethlisberger, such a big key to the Cleveland Browns. Do they want to leave tight ends in there? Do they want to leave a guy like Xavier Grimble in there? Do they want to put him in a situation where they can kind of use him, use two, three tight end sets, a short passing game, use Xavier Grimble over the middle. If he's concussed, of course, that's not going to happen. But I think still, with Vance McDonald playing as well as he is, Jesse James, the same thing, the Steelers will be fine at tight end going into this football game. And then the other note here, Marcus Gilbert did not practice with a knee injury. So a knee injury popping up during the bye week, not a good sign for Marcus Gilbert. If he can't go, it'll be Matt Filer on the right side. Something we saw earlier this year. And again, Matt Filer, I thought, played very well in the football game he had to play. So you know, again, Gilbert, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Can he practice tomorrow? Can he practice even in a limited capacity? Is this going to keep him out for the week? We shall see. But again, the Steelers do have good depth at the tackle position right now with both Matt Filer and Chukwuemeka Okorafor, their third-round pick. So I like where the Steelers are at the offensive line. Gilbert going down for a one-game sample against the Browns, even if it is against a high pass rush team against the Browns. I trust a guy like Matt Filer to come in and play well. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. Just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. I've been using them all year. They're a great service. Their mobile site is fantastic. Again, as I'm just sitting there on the couch watching these games on Sunday, you can do the live lines. You can do you can bet on fantasy points over and under. I love to do the three-team teasers. In fact, I'm going back to the well on my three-team teaser. I like the one I put together this week. I like the Rams minus three. The Rams have been great all year. They've covered the spread every week. So again, you're getting 6 points back on that. Same thing can be said for the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been on fire all year. You're going to get the Chiefs minus 4.5 at home against the Denver Broncos. And going a little bit off board here, I like the Cincinnati Bengals at home. You're going to get plus 1.5 on that one. The Buccaneers, look, Jameis Winston might be one of the worst quarterbacks in football right now, just not playing well. I know the Bengals are getting ready to go on that precipitous slide, but the Bengals at home against the Buccaneers, I like them getting 1.5 points. And if I'm wrong and the Bengals lose that football game, you know, icing on the cake as a Steeler fan. If you want to join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you're willing to wait until after 7 p.m., they'll give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 of free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And let's bring in Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports. He is a film analyst for them doing their film breakdowns. Chris, welcome back to Locked On Steelers.
Thanks for having me back, and Tony, it's always good.
Because I wanted to bring you back in because, you know, I'm confounded by this performance, this defensive performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, my initial impression of the game, my initial rapid reaction to that one, the podcast, very negative about the defense, especially the drive at the end of the first half, the drive at the end of the second half. I came away from that football game thinking another poor performance from this defense, allowing a team to just move down the field with ease. Then on rewatch, you know, doing the film analysis, I came away, I don't know, everything other than those two drives actually felt like a pretty decent defensive performance, the kind of thing we saw against Atlanta, this team moving in the right direction. How do you assess that performance defensively against the Bengals?
Well, I looked at it, and you got to give yourself – you got to look at every situation and take it for what it is. Like, yes, the touchdowns, they stink, and they're not good, you know, because they're putting up 7 points. But you look at the starting points of those drives. The two drives were inside the 50-yard line for the Bengals. And then they had one drive that came from 60 yards. I mean, if they weren't at the 40 yard line, you know, or at the 39, at their own 39, they weren't scoring in that game. And I think that speaks volumes to what the Steelers were able to do. They were forcing the Bengals to take long fields, and that's what I was noticing in my analysis. Was just like, okay, yeah, they're getting this, they're doing this right. And that's where the Bengals were able to put it together. When the Bengals, they're a team. They have talent. We know that. And with talent, you can put together three or four decent first downs that get you good field position. But when you have to do that 5, 6, 7, 8 times, that's when you start to have to be a good team and a consistent team. And that's the problem that the Bengals have always had. They are not consistent. So I think the big thing is that you never saw any one of those really long drives from inside their own 10 that they were able to get a field goal from with the Bengals. So I that was a big thing for me when I was evaluating. My other thing really also, I got a new piece on Carter's Classroom that's coming out, you know, that came out today on Thursday. And then it's just basically, you know, you look at the Steelers run defense. They really have done a much better job this year. They rank 11th in the NFL in rush defense, but Tony, that number does not highlight how much better they're doing, because when you take away the quarterbacks that have scrambled on, you know, pass plays that have just busted loose, and the Tyreek Hills, you know, or not Tyreek Hill, to Sammy Watkins reverse.
Yeah.
They right now are the number 5 team in stopping running backs on the ground in the NFL. When you compare all the teams, both in rushing yards and yards per carry, last year they gave up almost 4.5 yards per carry to running back. This year, that's down to 3.75. They're finding ways to be more responsible in their gap integrity. They're staying in their rush lanes, and I think that shows the discipline that they're working on, and they are improving because, again, this is a very young team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the defensive line the last 2 weeks has been very good. John Bostic, who got so criticized throughout preseason, has been a really pleasant surprise at the inside linebacker position. The other thing I think you can say about this defense over the last 2 weeks, they've done a much better job at eliminating those big plays down the field. The Baltimore Ravens beat them deep. Kansas City beat them deep. Yeah, the Bucs were able to get some big plays in that football game. What do you attribute that to? I mean, it feels like Sean Davis at free safety has been much better than initially thought. Terrell Edmonds seems to be, it feels like he's getting better in a kind of coverage safety role. What do you think has attributed the Steelers being better at eliminating those big plays?
It's exactly what you said right there, Tony, because that's another great observation on your point, because that's something that I've been focusing on, is how much better they've been at stopping the deep ball. But yeah, man, Tony, it's been Sean Davis. He's in position. He knows what's going on. He's coordinating back there. And that secondary is really growing together. Gelling. They understand where they're supposed to be. That's the key. They are starting to work with each other, know each other, and perform a lot better.
Well, so there's been a lot of talk this week about Patrick Peterson. Now there's this reports of Gary Conley and Janoris Jenkins, and the Steelers continue to look outside the organization at a potentially bring another corner, given the struggles that Artie Burns had, and he had them again against the Bengals, and they have Cody Sensabaugh, Cam Sutton. It's just kind of a revolving door there. Do you feel like this defense needs to bring in another cornerback? Are they another starting cornerback away from being a quality defense?
Well, look, it would be nice if they could get another starting cornerback, but the price that they'd have to pay for one of the caliber that people are talking about, to me, is just too high. I would not spend a first-round pick on Patrick Peterson if the most I would give is a second and a fourth. Even though, I mean, I'm speaking hypothetically there because he's come out and said he's not getting traded. He wants to stay in Arizona. Whether or not that holds up, because we know that teams put on fronts all the time about what's going on just so they can up the value of their player. But you know, whether or not. The only way that I would go to the Cardinals if I'm the Steelers and say, hey, I'll take him for this and this, I'm not giving up a first-round pick, because I know people really don't like Kevin Colbert sometimes, and they're like, oh, what about Artie Burns and Bud Dupree and Jarvis Jones? But you look at his track record of first-round draft picks, and it is of the best in the league, maybe the best in the league over the years. When you go back to 2000, you know, whether it's Casey Hampton or Plaxico Burress or Santonio Holmes or Ben Roethlisberger or Troy Polamalu or David DeCastro or Marquise Pouncey, I mean, Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl and sometimes Super Bowl MVP, those type of guys come from that first-round pick, and you can't afford to cough up those type of picks. And that's part of what's made the Steelers great. You know, you look back over the years and you see see what, you know, how they haven't done that. And I think it was Dale Lally told me, he said the last time they did that was back in the 60s, and then when they did, they passed up on Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. You know, that would have been available for their picks. So I think it's a mistake to give up any big players. Gerrion Conley, to me, I think he might be a guy that you could look at, but I'm not trading anything big for him if I'm the Steelers. I think that they're fine where they're at. They need to work with the young guys that they have, continue to develop them, and I think with the way that they have developed and they have seen growth, they'll see something good out of some of these guys down the road.
With Morgan Burnett being out, we've seen Cam Sutton playing more in the dime. I thought he struggled, especially against when he's trying to cover tight ends out there. Morgan Burnett's practicing again, potentially returning this week against the Browns. Hope, and if it's not, then hopefully against the Baltimore Ravens. How big an impact is that going to be on the defense, getting Morgan Burnett back into the lineup?
Well, certainly, because you're going to see him in those situations that you've been seeing Vince Williams in too. You know, remember those two big plays where AJ Green got in the red zone. He got behind Vince Williams. Those are the type of formations that, you know, on obvious passing downs that Morgan Burnett would play. You know, he'd be in that sub linebacker position, and then you could have Vince Williams rush the passer. And when he's in those situations, you'd have Morgan Burnett. Now he's more combo. He can stick with an AJ Green over in the middle. He can get physical. He's not out of his element. That's what I'm going to be looking for Morgan Burnett on third and obvious passing downs. Where is he? Who is he taking away? Because if he can take away the middle of the field, that'll allow Joe Hayden to work the outside and Mike Hilton to run free. And then also on the backside, you can work with Artie Burns and a safety behind him to help out. That adds an extra element to this defense. But got to see if it works out with Morgan Burnett, because there's no guarantee. We haven't seen enough of him. to say that he would change everything about the defense. But certainly, I think putting him there would be a better bet than putting Vince Williams in that situation. As for Cam Sutton, I think he's doing okay for himself. He had two really good passes defense in that Bengals game on I forget the tight end's name right now. Uzoma, I think it is.
Yeah.
But there was the one that was on a 3rd and 6, and it ended up not counting because the Steelers were offsides. But he swatted away a pass that was a really good thrown ball to the tight end. He was right in position and forced a 3rd and 1. And that was the 3rd and 1 that I think was Vince Williams T.J. Watt blew up and forced the Bengals to punt from the Steelers' side of the field. And then he had another one that was deep down the field. He had another swat. Now, he hasn't been great. You know, he's been getting pushed off on. He's just not as physical as a lot of these tight ends. But I think he's putting himself in the right position, and he's growing the way that you want him to grow. It's just another reminder that these guys are young, they're learning, they're developing. And Cam Sutton, no one ever said he was going to be an intercepting fiend. I think he's going to be the guy. He's going to be like the William Gay. You can plug him anywhere on the field, and he'll learn to succeed there and make sure that it's not a place where you're out of position. And I think in time he might become a big playmaker for the team. But right now, I think he's in his spot. But yeah, with Morgan Burnett, he's a better tackler than Sutton is. He's more experienced, and I've seen that guy lock down Jimmy Graham and bump off Rob Gronkowski. He can definitely be a difference maker in the middle.
Yeah, I agree with you on Cam Sutton, by the way. I think he is. His best asset right now is his ability to play all over the defense. Nickel, dime, outside corner, inside, all of that. All right, so we've talked a lot about how to improve this defense or what this defense needs to improve on over the next part of the season. I do have I've been watching the 2018 season. The old adage is defense wins championships, right? But in 2018, with the offensive explosion that we've seen around the league, I don't know that applies this season. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we watched the Chiefs and Patriots play a game with 80-plus points, one punt. The Rams and Vikings a couple weeks before that, 69 combined points in that game. The question is it more important that the defense improve, or is it more important that the offense reaches its full potential in 2018? Because it does feel like a lot of these games are just shootouts.
Well, to me, Tony, I've said for years that you remember back in the 2000s when the Steelers defense was constantly ranked 1, 2 or top five at the lowest pretty consistently over a span of like 8 years.
Yeah.
And that was when they were the most competitive and the offense was ranked in the teens. Well, now that was back when the Steelers had Troy Polamalu, Casey Hampton, James Harrison, all these superstars on the defensive side of the ball. And on the offensive side, they had Hines Ward, who's very good, but, you know, was never considered the best in the league. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, who was young. You know, you had a couple linemen here and there. You had Willie Parker. But, you know, guys that were good, but not like, you know, not the upper, the most elite echelon of the offense. That has flipped now. Defense is the guys that have the, okay, these guys are good. They're not the best, but they're good. And these guys are ranking in the top 10 in a lot of major categories. And now it's the offense with the superstars. And they do have the best players in the league when it comes to Antonio Brown, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Ben Roethlisberger, who's not the best, but he's obviously of the best. And, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster's right up there. And when Le'Veon Bell comes back, if he gets back to the way that he was, you'll have a 1-2 punch with him and Connor. It has to be the offense. They have all the talent. That's where the money in this team is invested. I think they do have the best offensive line in the league, just the way that I've been grading teams across. You know, maybe the Saints would be the team that could challenge them right now. But man, I look at this team, and the key is the offense has to be consistent, because you look at a lot of these games. You look back at the Browns game. If the offense does anything, they win that game. I mean, they, you know, just don't turn the ball over 6 times. They win that game. You look at the Ravens game. The defense gave up 2 touchdowns early. If I had came to you before the season and I said, hey, if the defense gives up 2 touchdowns, if the Steelers defense gives up 2 touchdowns in the game, should the Steelers offense be able to put the game away? I'd like to think, if I asked me, Tony, I'd say yes. I don't know about you. I agree. That's the situation that this team is in. The offense has to be consistent. I think the biggest thing that has to come out is Ben Roethlisberger has to really embrace what's been going on with Randy Fickner's offense. I think he's been doing better with seeing the field, but he has to get that arm together to, you know, reduce the accuracy mistakes that he's had. And then you'll start to see this offense really come alive. And when that happens, lot less pressure on this defense, a lot more room for them to grow in confidence and more pressure on opposing offenses to get aggressive when traditionally they wouldn't have to.
Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store, sifting through the racks, when you can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with their easy to use filters to find just what you need. With swap.com, you can save up to 90%. Off retail price on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and Gap. And they have quality hand-inspected items that are added daily. If something doesn't fit, you enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And a special offer for listeners of Locked On Steelers, get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. And be sure to check out their homepage for new deals every day. And then before I let you go, I do want to touch on this game on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. You and I talked before the first game of the year. Yeah, it's such a different team the Steelers are facing this time around in the Cleveland Browns. I mean, no more Tyrod Taylor. You got Baker Mayfield at the helm, Carlos Hyde at running back, the loss of Josh Gordon. Does that change the complexion of this game? Does it change the defensive approach? Or is this still going to be a football game dictated by who can get to the quarterback?
Yeah, this is all about pressure. That offensive line, I think they've given up, the Browns offensive line, I think, has given up 5 sacks in 3 straight games. This has got to be a tone setting game for the Steelers. TJ Watt, this might be another 3.
It's got to be another 3, right?
Three. If he gets 1, he got to get 3 because he likes that. but I'm telling you, man, the Steelers have to get after Baker Mayfield. I've been looking at him on tape. He doesn't look confident all the time. I mean, I'll give it. Baker's tough. He does, yeah. You know, you can hit him. He's going to get back up, and he's going to give you his best shot. But when he starts getting hit, he's not able to process as much. I think this team is going to be able to confuse him, force him to make some aggressive mistakes, and that's how they'll beat him. Because now they're starting to see tape on Baker Mayfield, and that's going to give them an advantage. But yeah, absolutely, turn up the pressure. Bring in Mike Hilton. Send him on the blitzes. Get those edge rushers out there. I think this is a big opportunity. And on the other side of the ball, like you said, the edge rushers are going to, the pass rush is going to determine the game. They got to stop Myles Garrett because he single-handedly turned that game around last time. But to give credit to Villanueva, he has had a much better season since that game. And my biggest criticism for Villanueva, he always has a slow start to the season and then gets much better by the time we get to like the second half. But this year he had a bad start against the Browns. And since then, he's been pretty consistent. And I think it was ESPN, they ranked all of the tackle pairs in the NFL, and the Steelers ranked 4th in the league, with Villanueva being one of the reasons why they were ranked that high. So I think that's a key matchup. I do like 3 matchups every game. One of my matchups is definitely Myles Garrett versus Villanueva, because if Villanueva shuts out Myles Garrett, or at least limits him in his production and stops him from creating any turnovers, that puts the rest of the Browns defense on notice. And now you got to see how good are you guys without that. But absolutely, it's going to be about the Steelers offense, maintaining. But if the Steelers defense can create the pressure on Baker Mayfield and force those turnover situations, it'll really flip everything on the Browns.
The other thing about that first game is Ben Roethlisberger criticized after that game. He didn't have a great game. He held the ball onto the ball, felt like a little too long. But one of the additions that has happened for the Steelers since that game against the Browns is Vance McDonald, and mm-hmm. what a big part of the offense he's become. You think he can be a safety valve in this game? Same can be said for James Conner, who I know had a good game against the Browns, but he's really come on since then. Those two guys being kind of safety valves for Ben to be able to get rid of the ball quicker?
Oh, definitely. I think it's going to be a big thing, because Vance McDonald now, not only is he the safety valve, but he's the vertical threat in the middle of the field, because the Browns, they're going to try and get Denzel Ward to take away Antonio Brown. And again, this is good Greg Williams' defense. They're going to try and rush Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to leave him in those zero packages. Yeah. If the problem was, in the first game, Ben's mistakes weren't necessarily the head mistakes until late in the game. Early in the game, his mistakes were missing open receivers. The first third down of the game, he had Antonio Brown in zero coverage beating his man on a slant over the middle, and he threw it into the ground. If he hits Antonio Brown on that slant, he might have scored on the opening possession of the game and completely changed the trajectory of how the first game went. If Ben Roethlisberger comes out and is the accurate Ben Roethlisberger that he was in the second half of last season, I think he takes over the game a lot earlier. It allows that tempo that I was talking about. The pressure will be on the Browns' offense to be more aggressive. Don't forget, they're going to be coming in there without a Carlos Hyde because they traded him to the Jaguars. So they're probably going to be leaning on some Nick Chubb. That offensive line, I'm still not confident that it's going to be strong enough to hold up. They might try some RPOs with Baker Mayfield to try to keep the Steelers off balance. But, man, I really think that this is the Steelers' chance to put these guys away and remind everyone. It's like, hey, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, he had a bad game. But when he has a good game, that stuff isn't going to fly. And, again, Tony, he had one of his career worst games, and the Browns only tied the Steelers.
It was a crazy game week one. 6 turnovers. I said it after the game. I said, this is a tie that should feel like a win for the Steelers, because anytime you turn the ball over 6 times, you should lose and lose by a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an interesting time for this game to happen. Coming out of the bye week, being just before the huge game in Baltimore,
and
the Steelers have a tendency to play down to their opponent a little bit, although you got a little bit of revenge factor in there because, again, this was a tie to the Browns week one. The Browns feel like they play an overtime game every week. Are you expecting another close game between the Steelers and Browns, or have the Steelers righted the ship to this point where they should be able to win this game and maybe even win it easily?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was asking Dale Lally about that this week on Morning Java on DK Pittsburgh Sports. And when I did, you know, I asked him about what's the temperament of the locker room right now. And he's like, Chris, it's business as usual, and that's usually a good sign because this team, they try to act like professionals all the time, and they are professionals. And I think right now they're saying, yeah, we're upset that we tied them, but we're not gonna, you know, this isn't like the Super Bowl for us. It's a game that we know we have to win. And I think when they talk business like about a game and they're focused on an opponent, that's when I think that fans should be like, okay, you can be confident. It was like 2 or 3 years ago when the Bengals were going to play the Steelers, in Cincinnati, and someone asked Cam Hayward, you know, is this the day that the Bengals clinched the AFC North? And he said, not today. You know, it's just that mentality, like, you know, hey, we're coming in here. If we do our best, we know we're going to win this game. And I think that's the mentality they have. I don't see this being a trap game. I think the Browns, I think they're going to come in trying to feel confident, but this is the first time in 3 seasons that they have played in Heinz Field when Ben Roethlisberger took the field. Because if you remember, last 2 years, it's been Landry Jones, and they couldn't beat him. I think this is gonna be a statement game for the Steelers to remind everyone, look, you know, the AFC North is still our territory. This is what we do. I think that's the mentality that they have to have going into this game. I got to tell you, I'm going to be sitting in that press box, and I'm going to be looking for some serious points. I'm grabbing as many Steelers as I can on FanDuel and DraftKings and all that.
Yeah, it's funny because you said that about Landry Jones. You know, maybe I think if this game were to go poorly, maybe the Steelers should sign Landry Jones this week, just bring him in at halftime if things are going poorly.
It certainly worked. In fact, I think that was – oh, that's right, because that was I forgot all about that, because the last time that they did face Ben Roethlisberger was when Landry Jones started the game and Ben came in and just blew up on Sonny Mansell.
Absolutely. That was a terrific game.
But yeah, wow. But yeah, man, I think the Steelers, their heads are in the right place. They're going to be able to control this game. The big question is, can the offense neutralize that Greg Williams pass rush, beat their aggressiveness, put them on their heels? And if they do, then they can put the game away, because I think James Conner running the ball late with a lead is a great winning formula.
All right, Chris, thanks for coming on. Let people know where they can find your work.
Thanks, Tony. Hey, my name is Chris Carter. You can find me at Carter Critiques on Twitter. But, of course, I am the NFL analyst for DKPittsburghSports.com, where we cover all the Steelers. I write Carter's Classroom, where I evaluate film every Thursday. We also have the War Room, where we give post-game analysis, grades, film, locker room interviews, all that jazz. I work with Dale Lally. He's great there, too. Check us out anytime. We have our membership trial month specials for 99 cents, but we have a subscription service, but it's a great package to catch the Pirates, the Steelers, the Penguins, Pitt, Penn State, all the Pittsburgh things.
And make sure you check out Chris on there. They have a free morning show, Morning Java. Love watching. That's become part of my morning routine, is watching
Chris. Thanks, Tony.
whenever he's not. I love Morning Java. So make sure you guys get over there, check out that, because again, it's free content. You like that, again, the subscription, well worth it. Chris, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, and that'll do it for me today. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Chris. I really enjoy having him on. He and I could talk Steelers for hours. And again, I know this one went a little long today, but hopefully it was worth it. Tomorrow, for those of you who have been following this podcast since before it was Locked On Steelers, since I've been doing Steeler Country, got a treat for you guys. Mike and Joe, my old co-hosts from Locked On Steelers, making their triumphant return. We haven't talked to them since draft time. Want to get them back in tomorrow to give their take on the Steelers so far throughout the 2018 season. So we'll do that tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.